appears when I look at the website there, they have a number of streaming options with links and details on the website. Also, in a couple of weeks, we'll be hosting an open house Pi Social here at the church. That'll be on Sunday, February 22nd, between 2:30 and 5:30 in the afternoon. Raiden has made up some flyers that are mailing out on Tuesday and has extras on the piano at the back, as well as a textable version for people who want to take them and distribute. I don't think it would hurt. Well, I think it's open to pretty much anyone. But for the upcoming week, we have ladies' Bible study Monday 7 here at the church. Wednesday men's Bible study is 7:30 at our place. Friday Bible study 7 here at the church. Next Sunday morning, there's Sunday school and adult Bible study at 10 o'clock with worship service at 11. Are there any announcements I missed? Is there any prayer requests? Order of service today, Levi will be reading Psalm chapter 91. And Tom will open in prayer. As well, Tom will bring us the message today from Acts chapter 26, verses 12 to 23. Following the service, Holy Communion will be served for those that wish to partake. The special collection for the ALC Federation General Fund will be taken during the closing hymn, followed by the doxology before lunch is served downstairs. We'll open with hymn 517.
Psalm this morning, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning in a place where we can worship you, a building which you have built through the help of others, a heritage of the gospel message, where the blood of Christ was and is shed, so that we are pure and white as snow. We're a body that was broken for us and is broken. Comforts us through the acts of the cross. We have a God who fiercely loves us. His Son who devoted his life for us. And a Holy Spirit that guides and directs. How can we not be near to the heart of God? We are so thankful, Father, for the many blessings, the many gifts, the many saints that you've produced through worship here. We are thankful for the history that has sprung forth, Christians who stand up for what's right and refrain from doing what's wrong through the guidance of that Holy Spirit. We are thankful that you are here guiding and directing us through that Spirit. We are thankful that you are strengthening us through your word, a word that is sharp and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, a word that divides and conquers, separates bone and marrow, menu, and at the same time, a word that brings love, grace, peace, and produces fruit. Individually, Father, we are individuals. As a bride, we are mighty in unity because you are forming it and framing it to your will and way. And we are so thankful for it. Father, we thank you for the ability to look into your word in a free country. We do not take that for granted. We thank you for the faith that you've granted us through the gift of grace. We thank you for sanctifying us, setting us apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil to be yours in your kingdom on earth. And Father, we thank you that you have given us the faith necessary to move mountains. We thank you that you love us beyond all of what we can think. You give us what we don't deserve. You help us through struggles and trials. You give us a body of believers that unifies. Thank you for the strength and encouragement of the bride of Christ here. Father, we ask that you would open up your word this morning so that it would always bring the mark, and we understand that it never returns void. We ask that you would open the lips of the reader so that it would do justice and glorify you through that word. We thank you, Father, so much for the congregation here, their gifts, and all the things that they represent through that body. We ask that you would strengthen those gifts and strengthen that body in Jesus' name. Let's continue.
Lay down my
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be granted unto you this hour and day of worship through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the 26th chapter of Acts. That's Acts chapter 26, verses 12 to 23. And before I expound on that, I will just look at the psalm that Levi read that stood out. It's a psalm that is very, very evident that God will protect and rescue us from any situation. I just want to touch on a few. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the cleft of the rock. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust because of the faith and grace that God has given us. If there's any pestilence, we have feathers that can cover us. His shield and buckler will give us truth. You're not afraid of anything. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold this and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my, thy habitation. I live and I dwell in God. No evil shall befall me, because if evil did, it was meant to be. And I have a home in heaven. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, and the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. A long life, whether it's 10 years or 100, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's a beautiful psalm of the ability through the Holy Spirit to trust wholeheartedly in God. In our text here, it's Paul, verse 26, or chapter 26, I mean. Paul, as we recognize in the first part of the chapter, he's basically talking about his life from his childhood and who he was and how God has changed him. And in this text here from he talks about his conversion, his purpose in life that God has given him, how his eyes were opened. And then he has to go in front of a king and explain the gospel, message of Jesus Christ. And he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. That was his reputation. So we have here a situation where God has transformed Paul from Saul. And I guess the question I ask is, has this happened to you? Have you been changed, transformed, taken out of darkness into light, regenerated? Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? I ask that question of you, and I ask that question of myself, with confidence that because of the grace that he's bestowed upon us and the faith that he's granted us, the process has happened. So we'll read, and we'll go verse by verse, and pray that God would give us words that bring him worthy of his glory. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. So in the 9th chapter of this same book, Acts, he was basically going to Damascus to bring prisoners or bring Christians who preach Christ into prisons to stop them, because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And it was only by the law and by good works that this could happen, that you would achieve heaven. And he meets Jesus there. And it's not at night, and it's not early in the morning, it's midday. He says, at midday, O King, he's talking to King Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. So you think about 12 noon, the sun's shining like crazy, and a light that's brighter than the sun, you see. That's got to grab your attention. That's got to make you notice. Because nothing's brighter than the sun. But God is. And this incident caused some things to happen. The sun was shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when they were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. So Paul, who was Saul at the time, heard Jesus. And if you go back to your experience when God has apprehended you, it would have been something very obvious. You would have been in a place where you were teaching the wrong ideas. You would have been promoting probably self-worth. You would have been promoting your own works, your own ideas, your own thoughts. And he would have apprehended you so that you noticed. And this is how God works. So we have here, speaking to him, not in a different language, but in his own language. So in that case, it would have been English for me. Saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. Or you can personalize that to you, to your name. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Have you persecuted God by creating a false god within? Well, the next question is, can you honestly say that you are totally truthful and honest with people at this point? And if the answer is no, then you have. Paul was teaching, as Pharisees teach, do's and don'ts. This had to change. So the next thing happens. I heard the voice speaking unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Paul says, who art thou, Lord? That tells you something. The Pharisee of Pharisees, perfect under the law, didn't know God at all. But this wasn't a person that God said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. You notice that? Because Jesus says to him, right here, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This was a chosen vessel of God. Like Ananias said in the 9th chapter, he's a chosen vessel of me. I will show you many, many things that he will suffer for my name's sake. So he's a chosen vessel of God. But he didn't know who God was because he didn't. He had to ask the question, who art thou, Lord? And that wasn't the Lord where you respect somebody back then and you say, Lord. Or
they have a higher authority than you, and you would greet them with Lord. This is Lord. Like, this is a serious, this is God himself. He's questioning it, but he doesn't know. But Jesus says, I am Jesus, thou whom thou persecutest. And from 15 to 18, God reveals who he is to Paul. But Paul doesn't really know Jesus. So if we look at the 9th chapter of Acts, and we'll briefly go through it just to get some context. The 8th chapter of Acts, we all know that Jesus is martyred and he doesn't really blame anybody. He just says, don't lay this into their charge, right? This is basically the 8th chapter, or the 7th chapter, of Acts, where Stephen is martyred. And the 9th chapter, it says, Saul's breathing and threatening out and slaughtering. This is the first against the disciples, and the Lord went out unto the high priest. And if you go to the 5th verse, where we just read, it says, or the 4th verse, it says, we'll start at 3rd. And he journeyed and came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? He's in the lowest place he could ever be. He can't see. He needs people to guide and direct him. He doesn't know where to go. What do you want me to do? And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no man. So they heard the voice. And it says at the end of this, ninth verse, is 3 days he was without sight, neither did he eat and drink. So what does Jesus do? He sends him a part of the bride of Christ to encourage him. There was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. This is starting at 10. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Notice the quick response of Ananias. I'm here, Lord. I'm ready. Not who art thou, Lord. He knew the voice of God. He knew the voice of Jesus. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem. So Ananias is kind of questioning. He's done a lot of evil to the Christians. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So I could be put in prison for even going up to him. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Ananias, this is his purpose. He's going to bear Jesus' name to the Gentiles, to us, and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way thou camest and sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell, so he's now, his eyes, the scales fall from his eyes. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Notice the order here. Receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He received his sight. He can see who Christ is. He can see who God is. It's not what he was proclaiming before. Immediately there fell from his eyes in the... In, it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. He received meat, was strengthened, then saw certain days and the disciples, which were at Damascus. And obviously his name was changed to Paul. We go back to the text here. What was the change? Well, let's look at his mission. What is he supposed to do? But rise and stand upon the feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is the 16th verse of the text we're reading. To make thee a minister and witness both of these things. So what is these things? His testimony. What just happened to you? I blinded you. You received your sight. That's physical. Also, the things you were preaching were not what I want you preaching. I want you to preach Christ. And I want you to go to the Gentiles to do it. So he's getting his mission here. And it says, thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. So the Holy Ghost is in him. He now can preach. He now can go out. And he says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And what do I send you to do? Through the preaching of the word. To open their eyes. To see where they were. To see where God has changed them to become. Have you been taken out of darkness to light? Have you been taken from the power of Satan to the power of God? Have you received the forgiveness of sins by the work of the cross? And do you have an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me? That's an important part of this sentence. An inheritance. You're part of the kingdom of God. You also go to heaven and you'll be resurrected as Christ was. And sanctified by faith that is in me. You have faith in Christ. To do what? To totally save you from the wrath of God. Your faith is in Christ alone. And because you have that faith, you have confidence to move forward in his kingdom. So Paul's converted. He has a mission for life. Do you have the same mission? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, tongue, and nation. Absolutely. That's the mission. Everyone that is a Christian has that mission. It doesn't mean you're a minister. You could be a plumber. You could pick up garbage. You could do whatever. But your mission is to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure where that is, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. That's the gospel. God has given you a testimony of the change you were to the change you are becoming. More Christ-like because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Then if you've got a testimony and you have the Holy Ghost in you. Neil said it last week. You can't be a spectator. Because this power overwhelms you to speak. What has Jesus shown you over the years? The changes in you. You don't think the same way you did 20 years ago. You've grown. Grown in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you secure in what Christ has shown you and is showing you? There's references in Romans 5 that really helps me. Verses 1 to 10. Therefore, being justified by faith, whose faith? The faith of Christ, to keep you. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we have peace with God? Because He's the author and finisher. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace therein which we stand. We have access into this grace, the favor of God, in which we stand, that we are a son of God and brethren to Christ. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice because we're part of the family. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That seems impossible, because we know we are part of a family that we shouldn't be part of because of what Jesus did. So we rejoice, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation, what does it do? It works patience. You will become more patient. You will get experience. You will be hopeful. You'll be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that dwells and stays, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, before we were changed, when we were enjoying sin and propagating sin and encouraging sin, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will anyone die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Okay, put yourself there. Before your conversion, when you were in sin and glorifying yourself in it, that's when he died for you. He didn't die for you when you're coming to church. He died for you then, when you were in misery. How much more then, being now justified by the blood of Christ and the body that was broken for you, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. When you were at that point, before you were changed, you were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much born being reconciled, you were saved by his life. Now that you've been born again, changed, and regenerated, God can keep you in his kingdom forever. But there's a problem. And the problem is the battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we all have it. And we all boast. And we all want to build ourselves up. And we all want to, it's all about me. And even if you're born again, you recognize it until a point where you are set apart, to the point where you are nothing. And that's part of sanctification. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it gives us a good example of Paul, who he wasn't accepted among the people there, because they were worshiping people that spoke right, that basically patted themselves on the backs. And Paul deciding that he's going to do a little boasting, as maybe a sarcastic way. He says in the 11th verse, I think it's the 11th, let me look here. Actually, it's the 16th verse. It says, I'll start at the 14th. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his minister also is transformed as a minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as if it were foolishly in the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. If you're gonna worship these ministers, these people that all they're doing is talking about themselves, I can do that. Let me just start. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wheresoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received the 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city and the Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through the window of a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. There's temptations, Paul is saying, to talk about yourself. But he preached Christ and him crucified. And how did he do it? He took some advice from Jesus. He looked into the Word. Are you concerned about salvation being fragile? We are kept under the power of God unto salvation. First Peter 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a hope that we will be resurrected with him. We have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in appearing in Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom having not seen, ye love, in whom thou now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Tried by the fire. You might have ideas and thoughts that you've had that are not scriptural. They'll be burned off. Because only things that precious metals can be added to the rock of Christ. The foundation cannot be our ideas or our thoughts, it has to be scriptural. But they will be burned off. You might go on a path of months or even days or years where you're teaching something that is not right. How many years did Paul teach before God apprehended him? He will apprehend us all because we are his. But there's a battle with the old man, the flesh, and the devil. When Satan says, "What works have you done?" You respond with John, the Gospel of John. This is what Jesus did, because the devil always assailed him in the wilderness. And it's good to have those verses front of mind. John chapter 6. Jesus answered, this is 26 to 29. Jesus answered them, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You followed me because of the food I was going to give you." And then what does he ask them to do? "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" When Satan comes to you, what works do you work? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." It's not that difficult. You believe on Christ because God sent him to die for us, pay for our sins, and to resurrect us in heaven one day, because we believe in the work of the cross. Then Satan says, "What fruit do you bear?" John has an answer. Gospel of John. Verses 14 to 17. Chapter 15. I'll start at 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do so whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you." All things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. There's nothing you don't need to know. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Why is that so true? Because he is producing the fruit in you. The things you ask of the Father is according to the Father's will. When you ask something out of the Father's will, he will not grant it for you. So we have answers to Scripture when the devil assails us, the world assails us, and the flesh assails us. We have the answers in Scripture. Back to the text here, we have his conversion happening. The 19th verse, it says, I'll read the 18th, to open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the God, the receiving forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart from the world of flesh and the devil by the faith that is in Jesus Christ. And you have the faith, the same faith that is, he will perform what he will perform within you. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem, that throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You notice here, He's going to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works for me for repentance. How is this possible except for the Holy Ghost is going to show them how to do this through that power? For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing to both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. What does Festus conclude? Paul's insane. That's his judgment. In the 24th, it says, he spake himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And the king, now he's telling, the king knows this. The king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. It was done openly. Everybody saw Christ. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He almost persuaded me to be a Christian. God apprehends you to be a Christian. It's not a persuasion. He apprehends you through his love, through what his son is doing, has done, and will do when he comes again. But Paul says, Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that fear me this day would both almost and altogether be such as I am. What was Paul? Converted, born from above, changed, renewed in mind and heart, had a new heart. But it's not so comfortable with these bonds. Paul was confident in Jesus that was the author and finisher of his faith. He was confident that he was a son of God. Are we confident also that we're sons and daughters of Christ? He had a confidence in the future hope in heaven, that his life would be resurrected with Christ. Throughout his life, from the time of his experience where the Damascus Road, he was confident that he'd be conformed to the image of Jesus through that sanctification process. He was confident that he was sealed till the day of redemption. He was secure in the work of the cross. What Jesus did and accomplished on that tree, on that cross, was for us. And finally, he was able to rest in that confidence. I don't have to do anything. I rest in the work of the cross. I will preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected, and he's in glory now. And the Holy Spirit guides and directs my life according to the will and way of God. I'm confident of that because I'm his. We can be confident also. If we've been changed, born again, if we've seen, we've been apprehended by Jesus Christ, if we've been taken out of darkness to light, we see God as our all in all, our King, our Lord, our Savior, and nothing else in life is more important. Let's continue with 325 and communion.